Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Cream 24/7 Sports, man of the world, expert barbecuer, father, husband, trading card collector, but he also covers the Oregon Ducks, covers recruiting, is an expert on college football and basketball. He's joining us now. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, doing all right. You know, kids are out of school, obviously, and they're home with me pretty much all day. But we're doing all right. It's sunny out and we've got time to interact and be around each other that we normally this time of year. I'm not home for a month.
That's right. Take advantage of it. Spin it positive.
Exactly.
Were you out just now? Are you out and about, or how often are you leaving the house?
Yeah, I was out. My wife, she works for the city. And she has to go to work every day. And so she's like, I can't go to the bank because I can't sit in line for a while because our bank is only drive-through teller only. So I had to go and make a deposit of a hard check that we received and was not expecting the lines that I encountered at the drive-through bank.
Matt, the world of recruiting has shifted as coaches are having to rely on their mobile devices. I saw even amid this, Oregon got a commitment in football. How has the world of recruiting changed, or has it changed, given that the coaches are so active on social media and with texting?
Sure. There's a dead period right now. So the communication that the staff can have with recruits is very limited. Obviously, there is no on-campus recruiting allowed. You know, colleges across the country are shut down, but even the ones that haven't, and then to be honest with you, I don't know which ones are open opposed to the ones that aren't, but if there is a school out there that is open, they couldn't have guys on campus even if they wanted to, because the NCAA has implemented a dead period. It's normally right now an open period where guys are taking unofficial visits. Guys are starting to lock in times and dates for their official visits. And so for Oregon, it's doing the limited communication that you can get with recruits. It's sending out the social media, you know, messages that they can to promote the program, to promote their positions or their coaches, and be active in that way. One thing I thought was pretty cool, it's not Oregon related, but recruiting related. And to be honest, I would fully expect Oregon to do something like this. But Les Miles at Kansas, they were supposed to have a junior day recruiting event where players from all around come in on their own dime. And they did it all digitally and off campus. They had the staff walk around the facilities with video cameras and cell phones. And, you know, everything was done through video of, hey, you can't come to us, so we're going to put it out here to you of what our junior day would look like. That's how programs are, you know, they're being forced to be creative, just like you and I are with the content that we create. You know, coaches are being forced to be creative of how they can showcase and promote their programs.
If it comes to, you know, we creep through the summer and we're still in a position where recruiting visits are don't make sense, is there an advantage or disadvantage to that? Is there a staff? How is Oregon equipped to deal with that? I keep thinking about the what ifs.
Yeah, Oregon's in a huge position of strength right now because they had Junior Day 2 weeks ago, and March 8th, And it was a date in which they had over 150 kids on campus, I want to say. Whether that was a walk-on candidate for the 2020 class to a guy that's in the 2022 or 2023 class that's looking for maybe his first scholarship offer. But they had a wide range of guys on campus for junior day. And Ty Thompson, while he wasn't there for that weekend, he was there later in the week. And he had plans to go see other schools. And when the dead period was hit and classes were canceled, he kind of was like, you know what? Like, Oregon was my school. I really liked it. And I was going to go check out these other places to just double check, but I'm pretty firm. I'm going to commit to Oregon. So right now, Oregon's in a really good spot individually just because they've had a junior day. But yeah, I would imagine if guys can't visit places during the summer and their later part of spring football, or just spring in general, what do we do about the December, you know, signing period? Do we push it back a little bit? Do we entertain that just because guys aren't able to take official visits? Schools aren't able to make evaluations. And this is, you know, unprecedented times are going to call for some unprecedented action.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is with us. We lost the end of basketball season, and I'm looking around our state and going, all right, University of Portland women made the tournament. It didn't get played. Portland State was looking really good in the Big Sky tournament. Might have won the thing and made the big dance. The Oregon men were going to be good and fun, and Peyton Pritchard, AP, first-team All-American, first-time Oregon has had a member of the men's team make that first team. Sabrina Ionescu and the women were on fire. Michaela Pivick at Oregon State. Can I still say this was a great college basketball season for our state, Matt?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, it was evident that the women from the Oregon side were the best team in the country. The Oregon State women were a down year, air quotes. And they were still a team that you're like, they're probably going to make the Sweet 16. They're a team that can have the talent to make a run. And who knows if they make the Final Four. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities for them. And that's a, air quotes, down year for them. And then the men's side of things for Oregon, that's the team I cover the most. They had maybe the one of the best players in the tournament going into the NCAA tournament. And when you have that chip in your stack, you know you can go into any game feeling like you could win it. And so I think this year it's still a lot to be thankful for, still a lot to be excited about. Like you said, Peyton Pritchard is the first team All-American ever for Oregon. He's the sixth player ever to be named to one of those AP All-American teams. And he's now got two out of the four selections for consensus first team All-American as well. So that's still in play to watch for next week as well.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. At what point do you start to worry about the college football season? And if they played games without fans in the stadium, should they do that? Should that be an option?
I think so. I mean, imagine the media rights, the ad revenue that you're going to get for the first live sporting event on TV. Like, that's just marquee advertising. And what if, I mean, is that going to rival the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know. I'm not an ad guy, but I would think it's going to be pretty high. And so I think the NCAA the NCAA relies so much on the NCAA tournament for its revenue. And if they're not going to play college football as well, you know, ESPN is not going to want to pay the bill for the rights for that. You know, CBS isn't going to pay the bill that they have to pay and Fox and all of that. So, you know, the NCAA is going to need that money. So if they can play the games without the fans, and it's not putting the athletes, the coaches and the referees into any kind of health scare, And it's been proven that they'll be fine. Then yeah, you play the games.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, with us. We talked trading cards on yesterday's show. I opened a box of cards that was on a shelf just outside the home studio, and I started sifting through like some late 1980s cards. And I started thinking about you because you were talking to me a few weeks ago on the show about sort of getting that bug. Is card collecting something you can do at home during this stretch with your kid?
Yeah, I mean, if you can find them. I collected cards when I was a kid with my dad, and then about a month and a half ago, my oldest asked me, hey, you know, I'd like to do cards. One of his friends is doing it. So I was like, okay, perfect idea for his birthday because his birthday's coming up in 2 weeks. And so I went, you know, I had some downtime and drove around town trying to find them and literally could not find a single pack in all of Eugene. And I asked a card shop owner, like, what's going on? This is not how I envisioned it to be. And I wasn't, you know, this wasn't how it was when I was a kid. And he said, oh, they're back. You know, there's certainly a buzz about it. We went yesterday to Target to get some supplies and some cleaning stuff that we were running low on. And we saw some cards that were there and we scooped them up. And, you know, we opened them last night when we got home and it was pretty cool. You know, he's starting to figure out the names of, you know, the good players in the NBA. And, you know, he's pulling a LeBron. He's freaking out. And, you know, it's cool stuff that's sports related. And he's, you know, reading the back of the cards and seeing the stats. And, you know, we don't have live games to watch. So, he's just finding other ways to keep sports in his life, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. What's the card you want to pull right now? If you're, Zion is the card?
Zion's the card. If you can find basketball, I mean, they're so popular that people are stealing certain packs of cards from stores because it's like gambling. They've tapped into the gambling element of it because there's a $10,000 Zion card that's out there, and there's cards that are out there that are $1,000, $500, $50, $100. I mean, we pulled a card yesterday that's a $25 card, and we paid $5 for the pack. And so there's the gambling element out there. But, yeah, if you get a Zion card or a Ja Morant, those are all ridiculously valuable right now. And if you find cards from last season that have the Luka Doncic rookie card in it, those are also extremely highly valuable as well.
How's a Stacey Augmon rookie card? Because when I opened the box, I had a whole stack of Stacey Augmon rookie cards for some reason.
You know, unfortunately, those cards are worth zero. My dad did the same thing. I bought a whole bunch of them, and that was going to pay for my college tuition in the early 90s when he was buying them. And the card shop owner here in town told me they're worth less than the paper that they're printed on.
I'm sticking them in the bike spokes during the commercial break. That's what I'm going to do. Matt, keep up the fight. I always appreciate hearing from you, and I know our listeners do as well. And, you know, you're regular on the show. We bring you on because you're entertaining, you're fun, and I think people are very relatable. So thank you for doing what you do, and you guys stay safe.
Hey, absolutely. We've been given some lemons, so let's make some lemonade.
There you go. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. It's true. I have a whole stack of Stacey Augmon rookie cards. Should go caller number 5 gets the stack of Stacey Augmon rookie cards to put in your bike spokes. Good stuff from him. I'm looking for things that we can all do during this time. This is not going to be forever, guys. This is not going to be a forever thing. We're going to get through this. I'm proud of the people who are taking this responsibly and social distancing. I think that's really important. I think it's vital that we do that. And I think that there are some people out there that are not taking it as seriously. And I worry. I worry what that means. I worry how that will manifest itself or how that will as this unfolds, what will we learn as we've seen in other countries? You can find various news stories. If you want to read the gloom and doom, you can Google it and you can find it. There are single individuals in some countries who have made a significant impact on their country by not being responsible, by not social distancing. Patient 31 in South Korea, who infected thousands of people. I mean, there's no telling how many tens of thousands of people you could impact if you were irresponsible. But let's flip that the other way. Where if you're practicing good, healthy social distancing, if you are going for a walk and you see your neighbor where you might stop and talk for 5 minutes. Yesterday, we saw three people in our neighborhood standing in the street in a triangle, like 15 yards apart from each other, having a conversation. I thought, that's responsible. And you know, that's good that they're doing that. Three individual neighbors who were standing in a triangular shape in the street with distance between them. So I think it's super important to have that individual responsibility. And I got to be honest with you. I've talked about my mom like 2 weeks ago. I called her and I said, Mom, this is a serious thing. I could see it on the horizon. Pac-12 tournament was coming up. I was getting on a plane to Las Vegas. Maybe I was a hypocrite for doing that, but I was checking with my employer going, are you sure you want me on that plane? Are you sure you want me on that plane? Are you sure we're going to play these games? And they were going, of course they're going to play those games. What are you talking about? Because I was looking at other countries. They were already freaking out in other countries. They were already having problems. So let's each individually understand that we have an individual responsibility and a collective responsibility to get this right and to do what we can individually to make sure that this doesn't spiral out of control. Because ultimately, that sits with you, it sits with me, it sits with Judah and Adriana and the individual listeners across our state. If we all distance, we can flatten the curve on this thing. And we can help get this country back to work and back to normalcy. And I think that's important. I think there's a lot of people out there, there's just the ripples of this are just beginning to be felt, and it isn't fun for a lot of families. People are scared. Peyton Pritchard's coming up. He's the University of Oregon first ever, first team All-American, AP All-American. He'll join us. He was eager to get on the show and brighten your day. We got some good news. Peyton Pritchard coming up. I want you to leave it here. You got the Bald Face Truth statewide. You're listening to the Bald Face Truth Radio Network.
BFFT. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald Face Truth.
Appreciate everybody who makes this radio show part of their day. I know you've got choices. I appreciate that you're there and engaged and interested in what's going on, and maybe the show serves as nothing more than a little bit of normalcy in your regular routine. Maybe it's just, I know that this radio show is going to be on, and it's going to be on noon to 3 every day. Again, I'm broadcasting from the home studio. Our next guest, the University of Oregon's first ever men's basketball first team All-American player, Peyton Pritchard of Oregon. He always brings the heat. When he's on the show, he's always good. We had him on in high school. We had you on in high school. It's like we've seen you grown up, Peyton.
Yeah, exactly. It feels that way.
How did that feel to get, you know, to get that news today, first team All-American?
It was, you know, obviously, you know, winning any award, and especially one that big is you know, you're very thankful for it. It just shows, you know, all the hard work you put in, it pays off. But, you know, you're just very grateful for it.
You wanted to play more games, though, didn't you?
Definitely. As a competitor, and as well as I thought our team was clicking at the end, I thought we could do some special things. But, you know, we got taken from that chance, but it's understandable.
How did you guys find out? Because I was in Vegas. I was probably about 15 or 20 minutes from going over to the arena for the game you were supposed to play with Oregon State. Where were you when you got the news?
We were in the hotel preparing. We were watching film on Oregon State, like pregame and preparing for the game. And then, you know, right when we were about to break and go back to our rooms to get ready, one of our assistant coaches came in and said they canceled it, and we kind of knew right there. And then once we heard that, we kind of figured that the NCAA tournament was going to be next.
Peyton Pritchard with us, first team All-American, University of Oregon, Westland High School kid. You've won at every level. You won in high school, you won before high school, you won after high school. When you have kids who come up to you now, Peyton, and they say, hey, what was your secret? Is that an easy thing to help, to give kids guidance and advice? What do you tell them?
I mean,
Honestly, all I think all I can tell them is that I set out, I made a plan, and I stuck with it. And I knew for myself I'd have to outwork everybody. And so on days when I was tired and I didn't want to go in, or if I was hurting, I fought through that stuff, and I still went as hard as possible. And through all that, I fell in love with the grind of things. And I think I love the process and the grind more than the awards or anything like that. It's the daily things that mean the most to me and that I love the most.
Is that, 'cause that's such a difficult thing, because you see people who are naturally talented and you just say, look, if only that person could work as hard as somebody who maybe doesn't have all that natural talent or size. And then you get a guy like you who, you know, just in the gym all the time. And the stories I've heard, 6 a.m. dribbling that heavy basketball. Do you remember dribbling that heavy basketball?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it tore up my fingers. And I think my fingers now are so, like, kind of callous that they don't bleed it. They don't bleed anymore from those days. But definitely, I mean, you know, to wake up and all that, I enjoyed every bit of it. Now, I know it was hard, and you know, some kids wouldn't want to do that. But like I said before, I kind of fell in love with it and knew doing all that I was getting better from it. So I just fell in love with it.
The goal that you set, you made a plan and you stuck with it. Did you literally write that plan out, or was it just you had a goal and went after it?
Definitely. I mean, I definitely wrote things out. I mean, even to this day, I still write things out. I heard something the other day. I was listening to a Kobe thing and I kind of liked what he said. He said he used to, he would write like a contract or a workout plan contract, and he would like do something like that, and he'd hold himself accountable. So I always kind of clicked with me, because I felt like I did something similar to that, you know, made a plan and tried to hold myself accountable to completing it through not just a week, but like a whole off season or like a couple months.
This has been such a weird year, Kobe, the coronavirus, everything canceled. And yet it's your senior year. It was supposed to be special. And yet I don't hear you pouting or feeling sorry.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.